Also, Sister Linda and you guys did a great job, Jeremy, helping us out today in the absence of our normal crew, because some of them are at CMA, Christian Motorcyclists Association, meetings and whatever. So this is a good day for our church. So many great people. We love the daylights out of you. If you have your Bible today, I want to take some moments and go to Genesis 45. Genesis 45, if you would be so kind. Brother and Sister Carrico, our district bishops, are here today. We bless them. Happy to see them and always delighted to be a part of their ministry and their life. We've been knowing them for a lot of good years and have appreciated all they've done for Jesus and thank the Lord for that, for how God has just touched them in a mighty way as well and expanded their ministry and how the Lord's doing such good things. If you have your Bible or your little electronic device, perhaps you found Genesis 45. If you will go with me to verse number 25, it'll be Genesis 45 and verse number 25. And I want to read to you through verse number 28. That would be the end of the chapter, which is only a few short verses. Verse number 25, I'll be reading from the New King James. I'm thinking that perhaps is what is on the board above me. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw their carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. I'm going to speak today on Joseph is yet alive. If you would allow me to subtitle this, I will call it, Your Joseph is not dead. Your Joseph is not dead. Could I invite someone to bring me a box of Kleenex? I would appreciate it so much. I have a handkerchief somewhere, and it has vanished into the wide blue yonder. And I want to thank you, Brother Ronnie Lucas, for that. I'm not getting these because I'm going to start crying. I'm getting these because I'm getting over the Crier Creek crud. Has anybody ever had that? May I see your hand? All right. As a Christian, it is very hard to see the end from the beginning. Would you agree? The disciples asked Jesus Christ about the end of time. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end of time. You see, too many saints in this world are confused about the truth. The simple answer is that Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. That hasn't changed. And God doesn't play into the hands of modern culture. Not in Joseph and Jacob's day, neither in our day. You see, the philosophy and attitude and mindset and lifestyles of early Genesis have reappeared before us in the 21st century. Jesus made a statement about the end of time, and he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Or in other words, what you will see in the last day will be a picture of what was seen in the first days of time. If you will allow me, the world was destroyed by flood, and the judgment that came to the world then wiped out its population. I want everybody to know that I'm not a negative and I'm not a calamity howler, but I do want you to understand that there's a coming eclipse that's going to take place in this world that will far outdo that original flood when the judgment of God finally does come and the Christian church is out of here. The Genesis account of Sodom and Gomorrah is being repeated before us today, literally today. Jesus said one time in his writing that I want you to know that if you want to understand what happens in the end, you must see what happened in the beginning. Our nation's obsession with political correctness, same-sex marriage, legalization of mind-altering drugs is proof that we have arrived at the time Jesus Christ was referring to when he was upon this earth. No question in my mind about it. I want everybody to know that the famine is on its way. Now, I'm not a calamity howler, but we know from Scripture that in these days there will be a famine, and it will be a bad one. And I want everybody to understand that when I say this, that the Hebrew word for the famine in the last days in Genesis, in the original Hebrew word, is translated something that is too heavy. I want to tell you that when it gets here, it'll be too heavy for you. When it gets here, it will be too much for us. I'm glad that I have a promise of being gone at the coming of the great end of time. How many of you are glad about that? May I see your hand? You see, there's a load coming to this world that's going to be too big to carry. Divine intervention, salvation, deliverance, and miracles are also told about in the book of Genesis. I want to tell you that Abraham is offering us in his life a classic or a perfect picture of Jesus Christ through that wonderful son of his when he offered him as a sacrifice on the altar in the Old Testament. And then when you get to the book of Genesis a little further, you'll find the story of comparison of Joseph and Christ. And that's where we are today. You see, there's something to be said about comparisons. In our Bible college days, they said that the Old Testament has the New Testament concealed. And then the New has the Old revealed. But they didn't do a very good job of concealing it, because everywhere you read in the Old Testament, you can pick up Jesus Christ real fast, can't you? Say amen to that. So with that in mind, I want to tell you about Jesus and Joseph just briefly. They were both radically loved by their father. They were both rejected by their brothers. They were both sold into slavery for silver. They were both treated unjustly. They could not be tempted with evil when it came their way. They were both falsely accused. They exalted to a high position in due time, given to a Gentile bride. Both of them were. They had absolute authority when they were reigning, and they were reconciled to their brothers at the end. And both of them delivered their people from the wrath that was to come. How many of you believe that that was a pretty perfect picture of Jesus Christ? Would you shout amen to that? Now, Joseph became more accurately the bread for the whole world. You know the story, and I won't take a lot of time, but Jacob had 12 sons, and the older 11 didn't like the baby boy. They just didn't like the baby boy. He was a dreamer, and the world's full of dream haters and dream takers, and so they took care of him. They didn't like him, and they put him in a pit. And when they put him in a pit, they took his coat of many colors, and they found blood from a wild beast and put it on there, gold or whatever, and then they put it, and they took it back to Dad, and they handed it to him, and they made up their mind right then that Dad would be confused and believe that Joseph was dead. Then they sold him to go into Egypt. And then when he got into Egypt, he went through all kinds of trials. Could I see your hand if you know this story? You know this story, all right? So I won't give details so much, but when they were over there, it was all bad for Joseph, but then it started getting good. Because I've said before, and I'll say again, that if you do right things long enough, it'll make right things start happening for you. You just can't quit. I said, you just can't quit. The reason that we don't have people doing that today is because in the middle of doing right things, they end up getting discouraged and they quit doing right things. And if you keep doing right things long enough, it'll make right things happen for you. And I want everybody to know that. And somebody said, well, I don't agree. That's okay. You've been wrong before. But just believe it. Because someday, if you hang in there, it will happen. That's proof in our text today. You see, anybody in the world who wanted deliverance from that famine had to come to one man to get it. They had to come to who? Joseph. They had to go to him. They couldn't get it if they didn't go to him. Now, we have a heavenly Joseph today. His name is Jesus, and he will meet every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is the bread of life. Don't miss a good place to clap your hands right there. He's still the bread of life, right? So let's give him a praise for that. And Joseph was more than a symbol of our Redeemer. He was also Jacob's hope, his father's hope. Now, the night that he was born, way back there in Genesis, prophecy came into play. The man of God named Jacob prophesied, and his name of this child shall be called Joseph. Having said that, the word Joseph means increase. Okay? He did not see increase quickly. He did not see it for decades. He did not see it for years. But if you're faithful to the position, if you don't quit, if you hang in, if you do what God said do, increase is on its way to you as well. Everybody say hallelujah. As long as Joseph was alive, he was the key to the increase for God's people. The custom of that day was to have that child have a robe that was a very special garment. Now listen carefully. Normally given to firstborn child. But you know Reuben didn't get it. He was the oldest child, but he didn't get it because of the Jacob's wives that he had. Reuben went in and had an affair with one of his dad's wives. And he had sin in his life. And he was doing wrong. And so Jacob is the one who said, this coat of many colors will go to my son Joseph. It was a symbol of authority. Now look at this. It was a symbol of power. He had rights and privileges of the firstborn in the family. However, he was the last son. And Jacob was tricked into marrying his mother. Okay? Jacob had all kinds of stuff going on. You remember what his name meant? Jacob's name, his father's name? It meant deceiver. It meant liar. It meant cheater. It meant hypocrisy. It meant something to the akin of a Chihuahua dog that would run around behind you. And when you weren't looking, he would nip you on the heel or the back of the leg, on the ankle. He wouldn't make a frontal assault like a Doberman or a Rottweiler. He'd get around behind you. That's the name that Jacob had. And having said that, here is Joseph, who was born literally to Rachel, the rightful heir. Now listen carefully to this great, powerful theme right here. This was no normal coat. And at one point, Joseph's coat had turned into Jacob's nightmare. Now watch your life right here. All right, everybody fall in line with me. Start watching your life right here. When you had a promise, when you had a blessing, you had something going in your favor, you looked at your situation and it looked mighty good. It looked mighty wonderful. And you thought, how good is this? Look what God's doing. But then all of a sudden, something turned your life upside down. And what was one time going to be your blessing turned into your nightmare. Would you say amen to that? There are people all over the Christian world today that have had that to happen to them. Joseph's brothers brought that coat to their dad after they sold that boy. And they got him out of a pit and took him to a foreign country. And it looked like the unthinkable had occurred. They walked in. The coat was proof in Jacob's mind that his son and his future was canceled out. I don't have it anymore. Starting right now, looking at the blood on this coat. Do you know that they did not tell Jacob that that boy was alive? They let him believe. Now watch my words. It's going to get heavy right here. They let him believe the obvious facts. And here's a point to make. The modern world is beginning to look too much at the calculated facts that they're giving us, and we're getting our eyes off of the promises of God Almighty. Hallelujah. And I want you to listen to this part now. It's very powerful. And that is that our coat of many colors has been canceled out, and for many we feel like our dream has died. We didn't get it. It died and it's passed away. You see, here is old Jacob saying, my future is gone, it's vanished, and the coat of many colors has now become the coat of many sorrows. Jacob just didn't comprehend that the shredded, mangled, bloody robe was not proof that his son was really dead. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you today, friend, your Joseph is still alive. You don't, come on, body. Somebody get with me now, all right? Your Joseph is still alive. God is still on the throne. And we cannot allow the devil to walk in and rob, steal, grab, and take everything that's going on and say it's all bad, because it's not all bad. God's still alive. And by the way, your Joseph is still alive. Somebody shout amen to that. You see, sometimes we just can't hardly figure life out. I've even had trouble in my ministry figuring things out. Now, here's why there's a problem. That coat was tangible. That coat was factual. That coat was real, but it was a lie. Now, listen to that. Joseph was not dead, though the evidence seemed to prove he was dead. The enemy is using that same tactic right now to hold the church of the living God and the believer and the Christian and parents and everybody else. He's using that same lie today. He's throwing stuff at us that is overwhelming people. You know that there are some tangible, visible facts, as so they say, that the world is throwing out to convince us that the church is doomed for failure. Jacob went into a deep depression or a deep problem, and his life became a lie. And then suddenly his hope died. And you're not locked into failure. Your family's not locked into failure. Your hardships and your setbacks will not be able to keep you down. But you can't believe everything the world is walking up and throwing in your face. Is that right? Somebody say, well, Brother Johnson, this is the facts. This was the facts too. Amen? Now watch. Stop reporting everything that the devil is reporting. Does anybody get that? We got people running around giving the devil's report all the time. And they're reporting what the devil's reporting. What happened to what God is reporting? What happened to what God's saying? I want you to watch with me as I go through this carefully. No matter what you're facing today, your hope is not gone. You understand that your dream is not dead. You see, contrary to what you see and hear, hold in your hand or can look at, Joseph is yet alive. I said he's yet alive. Jacob was presented with convincing evidence that his son was dead. He had something in his hand to prove it. He had a coat that was bloody and mangled, and it didn't look good. And all of a sudden, he cratered in to what looked like something but really wasn't. The statistics, the trends, the data, the news reports, the political candidates, all combined together, are here to offer America a bloody coat. That's what they're doing. And I want you to understand that we do not look at what the bloody coat is saying. I'm telling you that in the middle of everything that's out there, God is still God Almighty. God is still God. I don't know if I got to say it 10 times, but God is still God. And when I say that, I want you to know that worry, nagging pain, fear, and lack of faith and an absence of the Bible in you and in your heart will cause you to say, my dream is gone. My Joseph is dead. I have his bloody coat. Look, this is all I have. The enemy is an expert at arranging facts to create a false conclusion. Don't ever give in to the devil. Don't ever give in to the devil. The facts in front of you are tangible, but the conclusion is wrong. Can you hear that? The facts in front of you are very, very tangible, but the conclusion is wrong. Easily you could say right here, well, Brother Johnson, I don't understand. Let me tell it to you like this. Satan never tires at manipulating the facts in order to ruin your life. Say amen to that. That's all he's going to do. Forgive me today. I'm having a trouble with my nose. I'm not crying. I'm not contagious, so don't worry about that, okay? But you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And sometimes as a child of God, we've got to get to a point to where we say, I'm going to call things that are not as though they are. Amen? I'm going to call things that are not as though they are. Look, if you will, at Joseph's brothers, and they are cunningly guiding this man to a so-called truth, having Jacob come to a false conclusion. I want everybody to fasten your eyes for a moment. Has there been a failure in your past? Has there been a failure in your children? Has there been a failure in somebody you know? Has there been a failure, a disease, a shortcoming, a trouble, a test? And you look at all the facts and you draw a conclusion that your dream, your Joseph, is dead. There's no hope. I want this body of Jesus to know that I've been preaching 51 years. I've never preached on this before. This week, God poured this into me. And I'm here to announce to you that when they show you the torn, bloody, stained coat, and fear will take over and do the rest if you don't watch out. Fear will step up and get right in your face, right in your ear, and start lying to you and making up a big lie, and you will despair. Let me tell you, your Joseph is yet alive. Your Joseph is yet alive. Now, his father, Jacob, said, an evil beast devoured him. Had to. An evil beast has killed him. And Satan wants you to accept defeat as final. That's the devil's game. If he can get you to accept defeat as final, he will win in your life and overtake it. You see, Jacob never doubted Joseph was dead. He always believed that after he got the coat. He had the evidence in his hand. Well, this is how it all stacks up right here. And I know that's what had to happen. Let me tell you that Satan is artful. I didn't say awful, but he is. But he's artful at putting things together to make you get defeated. Come on, say amen to that. I see it every day somewhere in somebody's life. Jacob never doubted that Joseph had died. And the natural mind, now look at this. Watch my hands. The natural mind, the Greek word is carne. That means carnal. Carne. The natural mind got a hold of this man, and when that natural mind did, the facts in front of him turned out to be what he believed. but the facts, so-called, were a lie. Has everybody got that? Excuse my bluntness. I ain't going on till you get that. Did everybody get that? Now, to be carnal-minded, the Bible says, is death. I can look at the storm, and the storm can blow me away. I can look at the test, and the test can be too big for me. I can look at the bloody coat and say, that's obvious what happened. Look, he's not here. We haven't heard from him. The coat has blood on it. I can look at every fact out there, but the bottom line is, carnality will rob your victory and take your joy. Come on. Amen. Now look not at what you see, for it is temporal. Look at this. Proverbs said, do not lean unto your own understanding. Did you hear that? How many of you know it's a great verse? When I was dating Barbara, back when Southern Bible College existed, and it doesn't anymore. It's all gone and mixed with the college from the West Coast and Messenger and whatever. And I was dating her, and I bought a new Chevy Chevelle Super Sport. That was nice. It was a 2-door. Yeah. It had a 4-barrel. Mm-hmm. And it run. It lived in passing gear all the time. It didn't know what it. I mean, it lived in passing gear. I was just that age, and so I started dating Barbara at SBC, and on the campus she couldn't even hold hands. Sure couldn't kiss anybody, you know, unless it was the dean of the college or whatever, Sister Elizabeth Williams, and she was about 94, and you didn't want to kiss her. And so it was all tough. And so I had me a picture. I got a picture of myself, and I wrote on the back, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know how guys write on the back of the picture? Maybe you guys don't do this anymore. I'm sorry if you guys are that far behind time. Y'all need to catch up. Like a kid walking down the road with his girlfriend, and he's trying to be real spiritual. He's a good Pentecostal kid, and she wasn't. And so he said, well, let's just be seated under this tree. So they just flopped down under a big old tree, and he's sitting there and trying to quote scriptures and be spiritual and full of the Holy Spirit. And he looked over to her and he said, do you mind if I pray? And she said, well, I don't mind a bit. I think that'd be good. But what he didn't know is his brother had been out playing and climbed up in that same tree and was way up on a limb watching down. So this young kid looks over and he says, well, just hold my hand while I pray. And he shut his eyes and said, Father, Father up above, may I kiss my darling love? Little brother heard it. He leaned over and said, sinner, sinner down below, pucker up and let her go. So there he was, hearing from heaven all of a sudden. Oh, hallelujah. So I was holding revivals. I had revival scheduled. So I wrote these nice, sweet little things on the back of a picture. Like, you're beautiful and you're cute and I like you. I hope you like me. You know, that stuff that people used to do, I guess, writing on the back of pictures. And she said, well, I don't have a picture to give you. And I said, well, you can get one. So next time I was at SBC, she said, I said, did you get me a picture? She said, sure did. I said, oh, good. So after the dorm mother had gone in and the dorm light was right there by the dorm front door. Brother Wormuth, you remember some of these days. And I looked around, no counselors out on the deal. And I was tall enough, I just reached up where the light bulb was and unscrewed it where it could be dark, because I don't want to get caught in the daylight kissing my girlfriend on the campus where we weren't allowed to kiss. So I unscrewed the light bulb real quick and I gave Barbara a kiss and I screwed the light bulb back in about the time that door opened. And the dorm mother said, what are you doing? Boy, you just melt like butter right there, you know. And so Barbara gave me her picture. She went in, and I got in the car. I turned on the dome light, reached down into my pocket, and I pulled out this picture of Barbara, and I flipped it over and looked on the back of it. Oh, my heart sunk. I was disappointed. You know what it said on the back of that? It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. I wasn't angry. Bless God, I was spitless. I was so mad. I thought it was going to say, "You handsome ham. Every time you kiss me, it just melts the plastic tips off of my shoelaces. The butterflies in my stomach play ping pong. And it makes my heart pump crunchy peanut butter." I mean, that, and then all of a sudden, none of that was on there. It was trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And I later told her, I said, that was so disappointing. I just wanted to hear something beside that. Can I tell you this? If you lean to your own understanding. Church, would you look at me? If you lean to your own set of facts. If you lean to what our nation is telling us, assembled, put together, well orchestrated by the general society, when you get that done, then you will not believe that your dream is still alive. Could I tell you, your Joseph is yet alive. Come on, church. Your Joseph is yet alive right now. You still have something to live forward to. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And Joseph was alive. And Satan offered all kinds of lies, plenty of them. Satan lies are only successful if we choose to believe his lie. You have a choice. Everybody say out loud, I have a choice. You can choose to believe. You see, Satan tampers with the facts. Do you know that? Somebody said, can you prove it? May I? Would you give me permission to? Satan tempted Eve with what kind of fruit? Forbidden fruit. What did he do? He lied. Come on, buddy. Satan tempted Jacob with Joseph's coat. He tempted Samson because of her pretended love for him. He tempted Lot with the prosperity of Sodom and Gomorrah. He tempted the prodigal son with the report that there are some fun times going on in a different country. You can go get in on it. For Jairus, it was a report that his daughter had died. For Elijah, it was a report that Jezebel is going to kill you. For young people in our society, it is the power of Darwin's evolution. Well, we're not even believing in the creation anymore. And to the modern church is saying there's no virgin birth and no hell and no heaven. And to Job, it was the loss of kids and money and wealth. And for the drug users in our society, it's a report coming from a liberal mind that says that there are mind-altering drugs out there, but they can turn out to be good for you if you'll just take them. Come on, say amen. You know that. Do you know that you can go to certain states right now and buy mind-altering drugs and get as high as you want to? And it's all something that Satan is doing to just drop it here. And drop it there, and drop it there. And finally, he has changed our mindset. And what are we doing? We're believing the, quote, facts. But we believe the truth, not the facts. Would you wave your hand if you're believing what I'm saying? We believe the truth, not the facts. Watch this carefully. You see, for the drinkers, well, we studied that, you know, wine and alcohol have medical benefits for you. Why don't you read everything else? That 99% of all violent crimes have drugs and alcohol mixed in them. For God's sake, we need to stop looking at the facts of the devil. I'm just begging you to say amen. I guess in every case, the facts are so real and so tangible that they're manipulated into a lie. The devil is a liar. His falsehoods can deceive. And always, always, he'll say, I have enough to prove it's accurate. Let me stop right here. Satan's lies will always crumble. Don't be destroyed by Satan's lies. There's no such thing as a harmless lie. None whatsoever. Proverbs 23, verse 28 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Did you get it? I hope somebody got that. You see, don't sell the truth for what is marketable. Don't sell the truth for what is popular. Don't sell the truth for what is expedient. If you understand me, just because the quote truth seems politically correct, you see, don't see it as such. Hang on to the truth, because the truth will never fail. The truth will never fail. As if there's someone here today that may not be as convinced as I am, let me tell you this. There's a difference between facts and truth. You can say easily right now, "Brother Johnson, I don't see how that could be true." Well, it is. I'm going to tell you why. Are you ready? The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. That is a fact. Okay? But the truth is, the Lord delivers him out of them all. Come on, give God a praise for that. Give God a praise for that. Here is the fact. The fact says that in this world you shall have tribulation. That's a fact. But the truth is that God said, "But I've overcome the world." Go and give God a praise. It's good to do. Paul said essentially the same thing. Are you ready? Grab this. 2 Corinthians 4:8. "We're troubled on every side." Everybody say, "That's a fact." But the truth is, we're not distressed. Shout hallelujah. The fact is that Paul said, "We're persecuted." That's a fact. But the truth is, we're not forsaken. Paul said, "The truth. We're cast down." Sorry, I got that one backwards. He said, "The fact is, we're cast down. But the truth is, we're not destroyed." Joseph's coat became a faith killer. Come on, say amen to that. That fact made him lose what was his goal. And now I'm coming to this climactic point. I want you to hear it. When he believed that, the devil had a heyday. And that heyday brought a lie into his house. And in his house, the fact became truth for him. But it was never true all along. The devil is a manipulator. Listen to this. It's not in my notes. Holy Ghost gave it to me. God will not use you to be a world changer until you allow Him to change you, to change the world. And that's right. You see, destruction follows lies. Joseph's coat reminded him of what used to be. Joseph's coat reminded him of what could have been. Joseph's coat reminded him what should be. And then that coat also reminded him of what would never be. Now, fasten your eyes. Your family, your kids, your money, your job, every bit of that stuff put together is out there. This is a different age. This is a different age. I had a pastor tell me not long ago, he resigned, 26 years of pastoring. I said, "What you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to go. I studied automobile business. I'm going to start selling cars. I cannot make it anymore." He said, "I've got two-faced people. I've got liars. Every time I turn around, I hear another this. I hear another that. I hear another this." He said 99% of it just made up. People's minds running wild with them. And I'm so tired of going behind the pulpit. And every time I preach, somebody says, you threw that at me. You direct. And it just goes on. He said, I'm weary of it. He said, I'm tired of it. What can I do? And I said to him, sir, listen to me. You're listening to the facts. The facts are wrong. Listen to the truth. God is still God. Come on, shout amen. God's still God. I would be locked up in the nearest insane asylum right now if I listened to all the bull roar that goes through my ears every day. I'd be crazy. I'd be out of my mind. Somebody said, what do you do with it? I get up in the morning and say, hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus' full salvation brought victory, victory. Let the power of sin assail. Heaven's grace will never fail. Victory. They'll edit the song out of the tape, so don't worry about that. But where I'm going is that evidence was clear. My son's dead. There's no hope. That's what's going on. I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to figure it out? And everybody goes into panic mode. Our modern church, you know what it's doing? Look at me. It's getting a makeover. But we don't need a makeover, honey. We need a do-over. Some of you looked at me like a mule looking at a new gate. What do you mean a do-over? You need to do again what you used to do. Some of your kids hadn't seen you in an altar in 6 months. Some of your kids hadn't seen you doing the things of God, laying hands on the sick and rebuking demons and standing in the power of God. There's a man walked in my office years ago when I was in that office right there where... Well, I'm sorry. It's down yonder. I got all confused here. The building got bigger. He walked in and screamed and cried. He said, I hate what I am. And the facts showed a life of horrible sin. And this person got on his knees in the carpet, sobbed and rubbed his face and cried. And I got up and I walked around. And in order to protect the person, I'll call that person by my own name. So that way you won't be confused. And I said, Gary. And when I said it, sobbing came out. And when I took authority over unclean spirits, he began to writhe in the floor and wind and twist. And his eyes got big and he looked up and he fought. And hell was unleashed because the devil gave him a list of lies. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. And I took every demonic force and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I said, Satan, you're lying. Help him to overcome. And the blood of Jesus came that day. And he didn't get whitewashed. He got blood washed. Come on, body. Give God a hand clap. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. We don't need a makeover. We need a do-over. Come on, Holy Ghost. Help the church to see that Joseph is yet alive. It may seem like it's hopeless. It may seem like there's no way out. It may seem like it'll never work. But come on, Holy Ghost, and tell us you're Joseph. Is still alive. Let's all praise Him for that right now before I close. Could I ask you to do yourself a favor today? Stop carrying that bloody coat. Jacob carried it for 20 years. Look at me. 20 years. He carried that coat for 20 years. You got to get rid of that coat and start believing. And somebody says, well, what made him finally believe? My text. I know it took me a while to get back to it, didn't it? But when he looked up, Joseph in that foreign country had loaded wagons full of grain, corn, wheat, barley, and rye. And he had them so loaded and full. And all of those other sons got on those wagons. And they came back to Judah. And they said, Daddy, Joseph is yet alive. And the Bible in my text said that his heart fainted. Stop beating for a minute. My heart skips a beat when you tell me that. And he didn't believe it. But when he lifted his eyes, and he saw the blessing coming. When he looked at his sons, now watch this. Look for those little things that you see. Look for that little stuff. Don't look for big overwhelming stuff. Look for words out of somebody's mouth. Look for a little change in that job situation. Look for somebody who hadn't said, oh, I've been praying about it in years. Now, glory, they start praying about something. And when the wagons came loaded, Jacob said, my son is yet alive. But he didn't say it. He didn't say it while he was still referring to himself as Jacob, the cheater, the liar, the supplanter. It did not say that Jacob said it. It said that Israel said it. Israel's name means Prince of God. He didn't get it until he got it. Does that make sense to you? You don't get it until you have gotten it. And right now, in this world, somebody in this house has got a Joseph of some kind that the devil has beat you with and beat you with and beat you with. But this morning, when you walk this aisle, every time your foot hits the carpet, say, he is yet alive. He's yet alive. He's yet alive. He's yet alive. He's yet alive. I will see it. I will see it. The bloody coat is the fact. But the truth is, he's still alive. Come on and shout amen. Come on and shout hallelujah. Somebody right now needs to start standing. You need to start coming now. You start getting yourself to the front of this house. Musicians, would you please help me? Hallelujah.